So up on the screen were these words during the Lord's Supper. I don't know if you read them. They were kind of down at the bottom. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He, meaning God, removed our transgressions from us. If we continue reading, it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, and with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. There's a lot more in the context of that psalm that's worth talking about. I wasn't planning on reading that, but that was up there, and I'm wondering what that actually looks like. I mean, what does it actually look like that God would remove our transgressions? I mean, as far as the east is from the west, what would it look like for God to do that? Actually remove, and what's interesting about that verse is it doesn't simply say guilt, the guilt of those wrongdoings. It says that He will remove us from those transgressions. So I can understand from reading that where I was transgressing before, God can help me move on from that. God, as far as the east is from the west, I can have those things behind me. I can be different. I can be changed. I can be more. God knows how to do that. My life is like this, but the one who's from everlasting to everlasting can do far more than I could ever imagine. So back to the Luke passage, Anna Grace. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. There's this amazing promise in Scripture, this amazing thing that God wants to do. All of Scripture is about it. It's leading up to where we are right now, but are we living it? You see, we live in the same, I don't know if you do, maybe day by day. I find myself living under condemnation. Well, what's interesting is that we would say that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And yet, how many of us live feeling condemned, feeling guilty, feeling like I haven't measured up, feeling like, you know what, I missed it today. Kelly started his class this morning and he said, how many of you have said something that you wish you hadn't said? I mean, we're all like that. How many of us do something with, man, why did I do that? How do I get away from that? When will I stop doing that? I mean, the overarching question that presses down on us all the time, I think, is this. God, how do I please You? Because as far back as the garden, the understanding of that there's good and that there's evil, I mean, we've inherited that. We understand that. We understand that by experience, our own experience. You know, if Adam and Eve hadn't messed up, then Cain and Abel would have messed up. If Cain and Abel hadn't messed up, the next one would have messed up. You know, we ourselves, we understand that there's good and that there's evil. We understand that because of morality. We understand that in light of God. We understand that because of consequences, that there's good and that there's evil. And so we find ourselves in this constant conflict day in and day out, moment by moment even. God, how do I please You? Because we fall into the same trap that Paul falls into, or at least he articulates very well. The things I know I should do, I don't do. The things I want to do, I don't do. You know, I'm a wretched person. I want to do those things. God, I say I love You, and I truly do. You know my heart. You know I love You. Why is it that I can't do the things I want to do? In class, one of the passages that we looked at from Genesis in chapter 8, right after Noah, there was a part of that that really convicted me this morning. And I thought, man, we are so helpless and hopeless. God says this. Here's what I've decided. I'm not, even though I know that men will be sinful from the time that they are children, even though I know that, I'm not going to destroy the world because of men again. I mean, we look at that promise from God and say, oh, happy rainbows, and that's wonderful. God made a promise. But in that is this truth. that from the day I was born, I was going to rebel against God. How do we please God? How do we do that? I want to understand this passage, Jeremiah. In fact, I'll just look at it up there with you. Jeremiah says this, "The days are coming." This is God's great promise. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." Now, here's the question I want you to ponder throughout this lesson and throughout the rest of this week. Am I a new covenant Christian or am I an old covenant Christian? Here's what I've been convicted by. I think I've been living an old covenant Christianity. Now, I want to explain what that sounds like an oxymoron. How's that even possible? But I want to explain what I mean by that. And in doing that, I want to try to understand what is new. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah." Next slide, Grace. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors. Now, that's interesting language. What is going to be new about it? We got to understand the old covenant in order to maybe understand, well, what's supposed to be new about this new covenant? It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Next slide. "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord." Okay, so he's just declared it's going to be a new covenant. And now he says, here's what it's going to look like. "I will put my law in their minds." Now, what's new about that? I mean, has God not been trying to do that before? You know, we remember, even before Moses, God was, through the teaching, you know, through his presence and through Adam and the oral traditions, were handing down, these are some right and wrongs. But then Moses comes along and he brings out these heavy tablets and he says, okay, here, we're going to list them out. Here's the stuff that you need to obey. These are the things that you should do. These are the things that you should not do. And we're gonna put these tablets right here. And I want you to read them. I want you to know them. And I want you to memorize them. I want you to understand them. And I want you to obey them. And if you do these, this is my will. And if you do this, we'll be on good terms. But he says this new covenant is going to be different from that. He says, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." So there was a process in which God took stone tablets and set it in front of the people and obviously expanded on that through the scribes and the prophets and all these kinds of things. But it was a law, a code set before the people to read, to try to understand, and to try to obey. But with this new covenant, it's different. God says, we're going to take that system, and instead of putting a written code in front of people to read, I am going to put my laws in their hearts, in their mind. I'm going to put it right in their mind and in their heart. Next slide. "I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord.'" Now, this is the part that I stumble on. This is the part that for years I thought, aren't we doing that? I mean, aren't we teaching our neighbor? Isn't that what this is about right now? So what does this mean? "No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord.'" But what's evangelism? What is making disciples? What does that mean? "Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord." It's like God is saying, there was a time when there was prophets and there's all these things, and they were putting this law, these precepts in front of the people. But I'm going to circumvent that now, and I'm going to go directly to Aubrey. It's Aubrey and God. And he said, "I'm going to do that with everybody. from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Now, here's the interesting thing. We like to plant on the new covenant is this right here, that there's no longer a need for sacrifice because there's been forgiveness for sins and the wickedness. He said, God, I will remember their sins no longer. Their iniquities will be as far, or their transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And we interpret those verses solely to mean about God's forgiveness, that he doesn't look at my sin and associate me with that sin anymore because it's forgiven. I'm over here and he's over there. But what about this other part of the new covenant where I will write it on their minds, in their hearts? What about that part? Here's how the old covenant worked. The people would, they read the laws. They would try to obey the law. I kind of brainstormed. Okay, what did this look like? And here's some things I wrote down. It involved the law. It involved letters. It involved an effort to obey. Okay, God says don't murder. Better not murder anybody. It involved failure. Oh, I meant not to murder somebody today. It involved guilt. It involved the need for punishment. It involved emptiness. It involved routine, just empty routine day in and day out. we just couldn't measure up day after day, year after year. The people were reminded, oh, there's that law again. And I just can't measure up. Now, here's the new thought I had this morning that I've never thought before. Now, I don't know. You just chew on this with me as I'm chewing on it. I wonder if what we call the conscience, I wonder if there was no such thing before the cross. I wonder if there was only the law and there was only my effort and there was only my my ability to keep it or not. You know, it's amazing that a guy like David, you know, could love the Lord so much and then do something and seemed to have no remorse or even recognition of what he did, what he had done was wrong until Nathan came along. Now, I don't know if when I just had this thought. I'm trying to decide. I'm trying to understand what is different in the new covenant. Here's why. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel says this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. So under the old law, there's just these rules, and I'm trying to live up to them. But under the new covenant, I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, your unfeeling heart that can't be moved or shaped or manipulated, and give you a heart of flesh. Look at the next verse. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. So, you know that moment when you're about to do something and you think, you know, I really shouldn't do it. And we call it the conscience. I've even preached lessons on the idea that we have this great moral warehouse and the Holy Spirit uses the conscience and it's like a forklift that goes into that moral warehouse on any given situation, lifts out that moral that we need and displays it in front of our mind in an instant and says, ding, 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 be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. The work of the Holy Spirit using what we call the conscience, where he would move our hearts. The God says, here's what I'm going to do. There's going to be a part of me that resides in you to move you. So when it says, Aubrey, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, you have the opportunity to not do it. Or when God says to us, you know, maybe he says to Don, you really should, you ought to call, you ought to write, you ought to, you have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to obey that or not. There is something new in this covenant that they didn't have in the old covenant. It goes beyond just a list of things that you should do and things that you shouldn't do. There is something inside of us. God says, I'm going to move them to follow. Now, it's interesting to consider what's the difference between obeying and following. My daughter knows this well, because if I say, okay, the horses need to eat, go feed the horses. Well, for her to obey would be to tromp down, whether she wants to or not, tromp down, get out the feed, put it out for the horses, rain, shine, whatever, come back and do it. She may do it well, she may not do it well. She may remember to close the door, she may not remember to close the door. The horses may eat a week's worth of food in one day, or they may not. That happened to us this month. I don't know who opened the door, who didn't. We've all done it. But to follow, that would be to obey. Here's the command, you obey, good luck with that. Hope it works out for you. To follow is this. You know, Anna Grace, I think the horses need food. Let's go feed them. And to follow is, come on, let's go. And I would go down and lead her and show, open up the door, and we would put the grain in the bucket, and we would close the door together, and we would feed the horses, and we would do this together. There's a difference between obeying and following. And God says here, in this new covenant relationship, I'm not just going to give you a code and say, okay, I want you to obey this. He says, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this on your heart, and I'm going to move you so that you would follow my decrees. Jesus comes out and he says, look, follow me. Surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So there's a new existence now, something different under this new covenant than what was under the old covenant. And it is a following and not simply an obeying. There is a helping. There is an existing. There is a relating with God. And it's not just me trying to measure up and trying to do it all by myself. Now, the question is, are you an old covenant Christian or are you a new covenant Christian? Because old covenant Christians are Christians who are still trying to just obey God. They're still reading the scriptures and say, okay, well, it says I'm supposed to give, so I better give. What's 10%? Okay, 10%. Well, the Bible says I better pray, so we haven't had a prayer request prayer in a while. We better have a prayer request prayer. The Bible says I better read the Bible, so I got to set across that time to read the Bible. That's obeying. That's old covenant Christianity. New covenant Christianity says, good morning, Father. What do you have for me today? What would you like for me to do? I am a living sacrifice. I want to be pleasing to you. What would you have me do today? I am at your disposal. It's opening up the Word of God, not because I'm supposed to or because I'm on a daily routine, but it's because I want to know God. It's not even because I'm looking for a checklist. God, am I right? Am I going to get to heaven today? Have I done everything I'm supposed to do? God says, no, I've already written that on your heart. Read your Bible to know me. You see, the Bible is the shadow of the things to come. The Bible is getting us to God. It is not God and it is not existence with God. It is helping us to get to know and be with God. God has written his laws on our heart. That's the promise. You know what's interesting is that Christianity didn't have a Bible for a long time. They had the Old Testament, they held the old code, but God says, I'm doing this differently. I'm writing it on your heart. The new church did not do church the way we do it. They didn't treat the scriptures like we do. They simply obeyed God. They said, God, what do you want today? And they obeyed the scripture. Now, Paul would unravel the Old Testament for people to say, look, this is Jesus. This is who he was. And they were proving that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the promises of God. Why? So that the Spirit would come. So that we can live this new covenant way. Where we're actually listening for God. Jesus talks a lot about those who have eyes to see, those who have ears to hear. That's new covenant Christianity. God, I want to see what you see. I want to hear what you hear. I want to be where you want me to be. It's not simply going through a routine and trying to obey. It's following the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Bible adds to that. The Bible helps bring clarity to that. But it is the Holy Spirit of God that is the fulfillment of the new covenant. The whole idea of I will be their God and you will be my people, that was an old covenant idea as well. The new covenant part was, and now I'm in you. Now I'm going to move you from the inside out. Are you an old covenant Christian or are you a new covenant Christian? Are you still just trying to measure up? Are you still just trying to please God? Or are you trying to live, genuinely live, a different way? John says this. Anna, next slide. But the advocate, the helper, the message reads, the friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Do we rely on the Holy Spirit like these guys were? Jesus is saying, this is what you need to continue and to do what I want you to do. You need the Holy Spirit. And whether it's helper or advocate or friend, however you want to translate it, it's my presence with you. Will you live differently? It's interesting. Paul writes this. And the next slide. Paul writes this. You show that you are a letter from Christ, writing to the Corinthians, that the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Holy Spirit. We've not, Paul, Peter didn't receive like a new code of, okay, you've heard that it was said, but now here's the things that you should do. He's saying you're receiving a spirit that is moving you, that your life would be the new text of God. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human hearts. Next slide. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. It's not that we can do this on our own. It's not that we can accomplish anything on our own. It's not that I could live rightly or that my wrongdoing could be separated from me as far as the east is from the west, and I'm not doing that anymore. Not by my own confidence, not by my own ability, but by God through Christ Jesus. I don't have to do those things anymore, because if I'm tuning my ears to follow the one who's moving me, not just trying to measure up to a list, but actually listen and follow a guiding spirit, I won't be going to those places anymore. Whatever those places are, whether they're in your mind or actual places or just habits or whatever they would be. I won't go there. Because I'm listening for where the Spirit is leading me. Not my confidence. Next slide. But the confidence we have through Christ. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Next slide, Grace. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Now that is a very interesting idea. That you and I are not only to be participating in this new covenant, we're to be ministers of this new covenant. Are you showing other people how to live by the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Are you helping people grow ears to hear? What does it look like for our congregation to be a congregation that is bent on ministering, being ministers of a new covenant, a new way of living with God? What does that look like? How does that affect our worship time? How does that affect our classes when the purpose of our coming together is to allow the Spirit to move us? God said, you are ministers of a new covenant, not of a letter, but of the Spirit. Now, I'm not downplaying Bible study. Bible study helps us understand God. I get that. I'm not saying, but it's still the shadow of the real life. The life of the Spirit. How are we helping each other to grow in this life with God. How does that impact your parenting? How does that impact your marriage? How does that impact your relationship with your brother and your sister? That as Christians, we're saying, no, here's the deal. We're trying to listen for God. We need to know the scriptures because we can know that whatever God says to us is not going to conflict with the scripture because God is one. But the scripture is not the goal. God is the goal. Obeying God is the goal. Following Him is the goal. In any moment, in any situation, in any interaction with a person, in any decision with my money or with my time, with my schedule, with my day, with my week, whatever. It's always, God, where do you want me to be? What would you have me say? How would you have me to react? This is what matters. The Pharisees knew the Bible well, far better than any of us probably, potentially ever will. And they missed God. If we are not getting first things first, then we're missing the point altogether. Are you listening for God? Are you following Him? Not did I get my stuff done today so that I can be at peace with my own heart because, you know, I didn't mess up. Did I do what God wanted me to do? Because I asked Him and He told me. That's New Covenant. And this is what we're supposed to be helping other people do. This verse says this, that if we help people live with the Spirit of God and in the Spirit of God, we'll give life. For too long, Christianity has been the weight of the Ten Commandments, the weight of a code on people's shoulders because you're not measuring up. And if you don't measure up, you don't get to go to heaven. That's been the message of Christianity for too long. But the message of the New Covenant is, I am with you always. When Christ, who is your life, when He is your life, not your employment is your life, not your marriage is your life, not your parenting is your life, not your sports is your life, not your TV is your life. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. We'll be life givers if we can learn to teach people to walk hand in hand with God. I was going to open with this quote, but I decided to save it. We must understand that the Old Covenant is based on written laws which have to be obeyed. The New Covenant is based on the giving of the Holy Spirit who is to be followed. If we can understand this, if you can understand this, you will be the happiest person in the world and you will live a new life. Do you believe that's true? Because God's not going to take me into dark places. He's going to take me and keep me in the light. We are about learning to walk with God. We're learning about Him, but ultimately we have to be walking with Him and we have to be willing to go wherever He wants to take us. And that might look very differently. It might look the same. But each one of us has to have a life-changing attitude, new covenant attitude that says, I belong to Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to do? That is new covenant Christianity. Let's pray together.